What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 246. In this episode, I'll discuss part two of the guidelines for the diagnosis and management of critical illness-related corticosteroid insufficiency in critically ill patients, answer the drug information question, does dexmedetomidine prolong the QTC interval, and share a resource for looking up chemical and physical properties of a medication. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode246. The article for this episode is the Society of Critical Care Medicine's Guidelines for Diagnosis and Management of Critical Illness-Related Corticosteroid Insufficiency. This is part two of the guidelines that was published in Critical Care Medicine, November 2017. These sections of the guidelines address five clinical questions and provide recommendations for or against the use of corticosteroids. The first question is, should corticosteroids be administered to hospitalized adults with community-acquired pneumonia? And the recommendation from the guideline authors is that they suggest the use of corticosteroids for 5 to 7 days at a daily dose of less than 400 milligrams of IV hydrocortisone or its equivalent in hospitalized patients with CAP. This recommendation is due to corticosteroids reducing mortality, length of stay, need for mechanical ventilation, and development of ARDS. These benefits come at the expense of hyperglycemia, which is easily managed. The benefits appear to be greatest in patients with severe infection. The second question is, should corticosteroids be administered to hospitalized adults with influenza? And the recommendation from the guideline authors is that they suggest against the use of corticosteroids in adults with influenza. And this is due to an inconsistency of results across studies. The third question is, should corticosteroids be administered to hospitalized adults with bacterial meningitis? And the guideline recommendation is for the use of corticosteroids in patients with bacterial meningitis. The best evidence of benefit is in preventing hearing loss and neurological problems. This was judged to be clinically significant. Mortality might be reduced, but the data only seems to point to that with strep pneumonia meningitis. The fourth question is, should corticosteroids be administered in adults undergoing cardiopulmonary bypass surgery? And the recommendation from the authors is that they suggest the use of corticosteroids in patients that are undergoing bypass surgery. The evidence of benefit across studies that they examined was for decreased mortality and decreased new onset atrial fibrillation. And the fifth question is, should corticosteroids be administered to adults who suffer a cardiac arrest? And the recommendation from the guideline authors is that they suggest the use of corticosteroids in the setting of cardiac arrest. Now, this recommendation was based on evaluation of the steroid plus vasopressin plus epinephrine studies out of Greece that I talked about in episode 26. This is, in my opinion, the most controversial of the recommendations put forth by these guidelines. The authors make no note of the fact that the ACLS guideline authors looked at the very same data and concluded that additional study was needed before steroid use and cardiac arrest should be recommended. So now we have the Society of Critical Care Medicine looking at the same data as the American Heart Association and coming to opposite conclusions. The drug information question for this episode is, does dexmedetomidine prolong the QTC interval? And the answer is maybe. Dexmedetomidine appears to have been added to a list of drugs that possibly prolong the QTC based on a single case report where pediatric use of dexmedetomidine unmasked congenital long QT syndrome. However, there are no published reports of dexmedetomidine use leading to torsades. Additionally, there is a study that reports dexmedetomidine shortened the QT interval during infusion of a bolus dose. The available data is too weak and conflicting to make me concerned about the potential of dexmedetomidine to prolong the QT interval in adult critically ill patients. And the resource for this episode is the PubChem database. PubChem is an open chemistry database at the National Institutes of Health. They collect information on chemical structures, identifiers, chemical and physical properties, biological activities, patents, health, safety, toxicity data, and many others. Data is added by researchers, manufacturers, government entities, journal publishers, and more. I've used this database for things like looking up the octanol water partition coefficient of medications when trying to determine if they require dose adjustment during extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, like I discussed back in episode 213. To get a copy of my ECMO dose adjustment guide, go to the bottom of the show notes for this episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode246. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.